Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Tanner Utolu. How are you, mate?
Fine, thank you. Fine.
Excellent. Don't worry, man. There's more G's in your name than you can pronounce, isn't there? They're all silent.
Yeah. There are two G's, you know, and it looks like a long surname, but when you omit the G's, you eliminate two problems. You make it short and, you know, it's
easier
more
to pronounce. Exactly. Excellent. You're the director of Wines of Turkey, which is obviously the promotional body for Turkey wines overseas.
Yes, it's a generic body. We can call an umbrella organization representing, you know, the Turkish wineries.
Fantastic. And how long's Wines of Turkey been going for?
We actually, you know, it's a process. We cannot state an exact date, but when we first used the term Wines of Turkey, it was in 2008, the first year that we exhibited our wines in International Wine Fair, London Wine Fair. But by then, it was not a formal organization. It was just a name.
Yep.
But since it has been 1 year that it got formal. You know, the wineries started to sign a contract, and we can say that it's 1 year old. But we started to work about it in 3 or 4 years.
Is exporting a big thing for Turkey, or exporting wine, or is it more domestic consumption? Because also, being a Muslim country, I'm not sure how much domestic consumption you have.
Yeah. Turkish population is around 70 million people.
And they're all quite young as well, I understand.
Yeah. The demography is quite young, much younger than Europe population. And 99% of the population are Muslim. But we drink wine, not all the people, of course, because we are not a strict Muslim country. And first of all, I shall mention that Turkey is a secular country, which means that, you know, by institution, our state has no religion.
Yep.
So people are free to drink alcoholic beverages. And we think that there are around 20 million people consuming alcoholic beverages, including wine.
Okay. And where does wine fit in the scale? Are they spirits, beer based? Now, most countries define themselves as a spirit or a beer based or a wine culture.
Yeah, in Turkey, there is a huge domination of beer.
Yep.
Then distilled beverages, we call mostly it is rakı. It's like a drink, like a uzo, I shall say. Rakı, and then whiskey, vodka, these kind of drinks. But mostly beer is the dominant alcoholic beverage.
That's strange, because Turkey is one of the big grape producers of the world, isn't it?
It is the biggest grape producing country. Most of the grape we eat them as fruit, and we dry them and
raisins. And
there's big export of fresh fruits also in Turkey, and unfortunately only 2% of grape is made wine.
Okay. And what sort of wines does Turkey produce?
For the last 10 years, we started to produce international varieties like Shiraz, Cabernet, Merlot, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay.
Yep.
We have also indigenous varieties.
Yep.
It will be difficult to pronounce, but just let me say them if you like a few of them.
Yep.
From reds, we have Boğaz Kere and Kalecik Karası. And the third important red variety is Öküz Gözü. And from whites, we have two important indigenous grape varieties. One of them is Narince, and the other one is Emir.
Okay, and what sort of, are they quite a different, produce different styles of wine, or what's the key grape variety in the style of wine they produce?
You know, when you mention about the style, I try to fit Turkey either in New World or Old World style. Your question is not, you know, pointing this, but let me also clarify, because the listener wonder whether Turkey is a New World or Old World winemaking country, because it doesn't fit both. Because when you say Old World, you mean Europe, basically Italy, France, you know, Spain. Turkey, one of the oldest geography, but in the meantime, it is very new country for good winemaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the wineries are applying both New World and Old World techniques.
Yep.
There are some important wineries which you can find wines similar to Italian and France. There are some important wineries which are using more New World techniques.
Fruit forward, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But even in France these days, you know, France is using New World techniques.
Exactly.
Everybody, it's a real...
Yeah.
I really don't like the word Old World, New World. I was more interested in things like the style of wines. Are they producing sort of acidic wines? What's the structure of the wines?
Yes. Coming to your question, our indigenous varieties have really different characteristics. For example, Boaz Kere, it's a red grape variety. The term comes from, if you directly translate to English, it would mean the throat stretching.
Oh yeah, that doesn't sound too good,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, it's not it's not very sympathetic, but it comes from southeast part of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And these grapes are, you know, the wines are maybe 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years, old wines. And the grape variety. Yeah. It is tonic and lively and acidic. And I hope that you'll find opportunity to taste them in our stand. You know, you will see what I mean. And Öküz Gözü, on the other hand, it is in the same region, but much softer than Boaz Kere. I find them close to Cabernet and Merlot combination, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There are some good, for example, wines which are made from coupage, which are coupage of Boaz Kere and Öküz Gözü. And Kalecik Karası, on the other hand, it's a Middle Anatolian grape variety. And it's much softer, and we can call it, it's like a Pinot Noir.
Yep.
And on the other hand, from the whites, Narince, find it similar, maybe Chardonnay, maybe. And Emir to Sauvignon Blanc. It's just to give you a general idea.
Yeah, that's fine.
So the wines which are made, you can find, for example, Boaz Kere and Öküz Gözü, which are made wine used a lot of wood or without wood. So you can find different oak on without any oak. So you can find different combinations and different styles in Turkey.
Okay. And you mentioned one of the grape varieties was 2,000 years old, but Turkey, along with Georgia and maybe Armenia,
yes,
they're sort of, someone described it recently to me as the crescent.
Yes.
Of wine viticulture.
Exactly.
Is that where the old crescent comes from in a lot of Muslim countries? Is it that chunk of land? Or
Is it? Yeah. If your question is whether Turkey is part of the geography where the first, you know, Vitis vinifera was...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, originally it was.
Yeah, originated. Yes, it is part of the place. And, I think it is an American professor from Pennsylvania University who made this, you know, study and found out that his name is Patrick McGovern from Pennsylvania University, and in his books he's the person who found out that the origins of Vitis vinifera comes from Anatolia, Armenia and Georgia and these parts of the world, including Iran. And I think Hugh Johnson and Jancis Robinson, and in their books, got this Patrick McGovern's book as reference.
Yeah, because I'd also heard that it had come from maybe around Croatia ways as well. But
yeah, exactly.
So around that whole area there.
Yes. And, 2 years ago when we first came to London Wine Fair, I tried to find something to call all this geography, what we can call this. Because when we say Turkey, it doesn't reflect the fact, because Turkey is part of this geography. And I tried to develop a terminology to identify all this big area. And looking to Latin dictionaries, I thought maybe we could call this a grand terrain. Grand in terms of not magnificent, but old.
Yeah, grand. Yeah.
Terrain in terms of not, you know, maybe you can call it terroir, but it's a
terrain,
huge...
Yeah. Grand terrain.
Yes, grand terrain.
Okay. Yes, I've never heard of it like that, but that's a nice way of describing it.
Yeah.
And So what are the key wine regions in Turkey? They seem to be spread out throughout the...
Exactly. But...
What I noticed, interestingly, on your stand, you have a big map of Turkey, and then you have the latitudes, 30 and 50 degrees, and Turkey is right smack dab in the middle, isn't it? It's 40 degrees. 40 degrees runs right through. So potentially anywhere could make wine in Turkey, but I always think of Turkey as a hot place rather than 30, 50.
No, not exactly. For example, in most of the country, we have a lot of snow in winter. Most people think that Turkey is a hot country, like, you know, as one part of mostly Middle East country.
Yeah, exactly.
But Turkey is, geography, we have four seasons. And in winter, we have serious snow. In maybe 80
snow?
Yeah. 80% of the country. And when you look at the geography, most grape production for wine is, in Thrace region, where close to Greece and Bulgaria, and in Aegean region, which is West Anatolia, close to Aegean Sea. And Middle Anatolia, including Ankara, which is the capital of Turkey.
It's in the center.
Yeah, in the center. And we have another city called Tokat, is a little bit in the north, but still close to center Anatolia, but in the north part of it, Tokat. Mm-hmm. Tokat, we have a famous variety called Narince. And in Cappadocia, famous touristic place, with a volcanic terrain. In Cappadocia, we have a famous another white grape variety called Emir, which we can call also in center of Anatolia. And in southeast part of Turkey, we have these both big reds, Öküz Gözü and Boğazkere. So when you look at it, it's diversified as a geography.
Does it have any altitude at any place, or is it fairly flat?
We have altitudes, 1,000 meters, but the average would be, I don't have exact statistics, but maybe 200, 300. The altitude differs. For example, there is a winery close to the south part of Turkey, close to Antalya, which is the hot part of Turkey, but they have an altitude of 1,200 meters.
What sort of places buy your wine? Is all your wine for domestic consumption?
Mostly Turkish wine is, as you mentioned, is domestic consumption. However, we export our wines abroad in such countries such as Germany, UK, Belgium, United States, Japan. And the most important two markets are Germany and UK. Mm-hmm. It's mostly because of the Turkish population living in those countries.
Yep.
However, our strategy is not to, concentrate on Turkish population abroad, but the original, people who are living there.
Yeah.
So basically, yes, domestic consumption is much more, but some of the wineries are exporting their wines around 20% of their production.
Okay, that's not too bad. And as a percentage of export versus internal consumption?
The wine produced in Turkey is around 70 to 80 million liters.
70 to 80 million liters?
Yes. Okay. 70 or 80 million liters.
It's quite a party, isn't it?
Not bad.
Okay. You said that you've got a lot of Islamic people in the country, and generally I normally associate them with non-drinking. How come some people in Turkey find that not to be a problem, and in other countries they find it to be more of an issue? What do the rules say about that? Is it something you feel comfortable answering?
When you read something, you can
interpret it
in different ways. In Muslim religion, alcoholic beverage drinking is an issue which can be interpreted in a milder way, because it is something about health. And if you are consuming something, and if you are not giving harm to yourself and to your surrounding,
yep.
other people. So you can do that. You can interpret the Quran like this, or you can interpret it, this is strictly, you know, forbidden, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But it's not the issue, I think, because all the major religions are trying to put forward the common sense, you know, which is
sure,
health, which is, you know, not to disturb anyone around, blah, blah. You know,
families,
this kind
all of, that sort of stuff. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
I think the basic of religion is the common sense.
Depending on your interpretation, it's not like you must not do this. And
no.
You, okay,
no,
it's more of a, all right, no, that's interesting. That's interesting. I always wonder about that.
Because
we do a lot of wine tastings, and if we have a Muslim in the thing, we normally have to get special orange juices and pomegranate juices and all sorts of stuff so that they can participate but without actually consuming any alcohol, which is, you know,
I think it's out of date interpretation to prohibit 100%.
Okay, well, that'd be nice.
Because, you know, if you drink too much milk, it will be, you know,
yeah. You get fat and
diarrhea or whatever.
All right, and where do you think the future is for Turkey? Obviously, there's a question about whether Turkey becomes part of Europe or not, and that would determine whether, I suppose, your export focus goes towards Europe or not. But besides that, do you think Europe's the place home for Turkish wines, or do you see yourself moving to maybe exporting to China, or where would you consider your wines to be a natural home for from an export point of view?
Our first target will be Europe and United States, most probably. And the Far East is a big growing market, but it's a question mark at the moment for everyone. And it's very difficult. It's too huge for organizations in the countries like us, because we are not rich and comfortable enough to take big risks and to play big.
Yep.
So we have to be more careful, more modest, and, you know, we have very strict budgets. So we have to, you know, put our food in a safe place. Therefore, I think starting from UK market, Germany market, USA would be the safe markets for us to invest and to get some feedback. And after that, when we harvest our investments, then we can go to, you know, Far East. Why not?
Okay. And finally, in the UK, is it the on-trade or the off-trade that seems to be the take-up for Turkish wines?
Of course, our first aim is off-trade. However, it's a debate within our platform. For example, when we say on-trade directly, I recognize the Turkish restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You know, because there are a lot in London.
Yeah, there's a lot of Turkish
restaurants. And there are some good quality.
There's some nice ones, yeah.
Turkish restaurants. Unfortunately, because of miscommunication, because of the costs and things like that, when you go to a good Turkish restaurant, you ask for a wine menu, you will see maybe 60 international wines. Two of them is only Turkish wines.
Yeah, okay.
Which is dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in food and wine matching, the first golden rule is if you are eating, kebab from southeast part of Turkey, the best wine would suit to it, match to it, would a wine, if any wine available from southeast part of Turkey. Not only Turkish wine is also good for it, but the wine coming from that region is best for it. Of course, Malbec or whatever, Sangiovese, but maybe good for it. You know, okay, that's an option. But if you are looking for the best match, and if there's a good available wine there, then it's the best option. Unfortunately, starting from Turkish restaurants, we have to invest on trade also.
Yep.
Last night we had a dinner together with the Turkish restaurateurs, sommeliers, and people like that, and I suggested them to have a wines of Turkey wine menu, showing the grape varieties, a map of Turkey, the regions, things like that, and having different wines from Turkey, at least 10 or 15, whatever. This should be because, you know, when a British, you know, person go to a Turkish restaurant, he should see those and taste those, and if he or she likes it,
great,
he can demand it or buy it from the Waitrose or whatever place he's or she's buying wine. So the UK market, when you look at it statistically, 85% of the wine market is on retail.
Yep.
So
at the supermarkets,
yes,
as well, mainly.
Yes. Therefore, they are very important. But we mustn't forget the on-trade also.
Well, in that case, Tena, I think we'll wrap it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.